Thank you for being here on a Wednesday back from Life Groups. And I know that many are traveling for Thanksgiving and already in holiday mode, and I don't begrudge them that at all. But I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this evening and making this a priority. I'm thankful for that. And we are going to read from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is a passage of exhortation, encouragement, and prayer from Paul. And you probably heard this a couple of times, but Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Or the Amplified says, let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, patience. The Lord is at hand, or other versions say, the Lord is near. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Kind of a different direction for maybe a Thanksgiving service tonight, but one that I think it will help us. And so my title tonight is Anxiety, the Capacity Killer. Anxiety, the Capacity Killer. You can be seated. I want to encourage you to take some notes tonight. And we're not going to be here long. We're going to be out of here by 8 o'clock. So that's my commitment to you. But as I was kind of preparing myself for tonight and for, you know, really this week and this whole season, thinking about thankfulness, you know, it's something I believe we should take some time and really dwell upon and think about and try to lean into. And hopefully it's a posture of our heart year-round and not just a day or so, a year. But yet we do take special emphasis to talk about thankfulness, what it means to be thankful. And to speak about anxiety may be an odd sermon to hear on the week of Thanksgiving. You know, again, often our thoughts are turn towards thankfulness, which I think is correct. But as I began to kind of think and pray and prepare, I couldn't help but think about some of the things that get in the way, if you will, or potentially detract from our desire to really be able to lean into thankfulness or thanksgiving. And yes, there are things that could replace thankfulness in our life. And maybe, I'm sure no one in this room tonight, has any issues with any of your extended family whatsoever. I'm sure there's no arguments, no tension in any family relationships. It's all just perfect at the holidays. So I'm not preaching about any of that because we've been preaching about offense, okay? We've been through that. So hopefully, you know, take that and you got some good ammo for those conversations. But as I began to think and kind of pray about this, you know, I thought about the fact that you may not see that there's a direct correlation between anxiety and thankfulness or thanksgiving, but the way that I would almost want to look at anxiety and the lens of anxiety is anxiety doesn't keep you from being thankful. I think many times what anxiety does do is it takes up our emotional capacity. It absorbs so much of our energy, our emotional energy. Use a Thanksgiving analogy. I don't know about you. I think everyone's got their favorite Thanksgiving food and things. And I don't know. I mean, I'm from the South, so it may be completely different fare here. But are there any broccoli casserole? Does anybody have broccoli? Is that a thing up here? I see a couple of hands. I hear a couple of no's. My aunt makes broccoli casserole. She does a really good job. My grandmother, though, she makes rolls, okay? Just rolls, and she makes just dozens and dozens of rolls. And so to use the analogy, for me, this is always the fight, is that the rolls come out, and they're hot, and she puts a basket of about 15 right in front of my face. And so I have to make the decision. Maybe you make the same decision at Mexican food restaurants where they bring out the chips. Do I just go for broke right now on the rolls and just let the chips fall where they may? I know you don't understand that analogy, anyone. You don't. And then if I have any room for turkey, that's great. Or do we pace ourselves and say, you know what? I really want to eat turkey, so I'm only going to eat four rolls or three rolls. I don't know. That's not a high number. Is that a bad number? I'm sorry. One roll. Excuse me. But so what I realize, though, is that rolls are going to be a part of the meal. But if I'm not careful, rolls will take up the entire ability to then take and consume anything else. Now, I'm not trying to say capacity is a good thing. I mean, anxiety is a good thing. But the truth is, all of us are going to deal with anxiety. I would love to say that at the end of this service tonight, you will eliminate anxiety from your life. That's not the case. It's not the truth. But I believe that with maybe a little bit of perspective, we can keep anxiety from taking up so much of our capacity that we would love to have for other things like being thankful. You know, anxiety is somewhat of a buzzword, but and many times we focus it solely on teenagers or kids, and for good reason. You know, a study, you can look this up, but a study done on children and their anxiety levels revealed that the average child today exhibits the same anxiety levels as 1950s and 60s psychiatric patients. Pretty unbelievable. Just the amount of stimulation, the amount of electronic overload into the minds, and then therefore some of the behavioral things that we see even in children that are commonplace. You know, without getting too far into a really interesting book, if you're interested, it's called The Anxious Generation. But kind of this, the author uses this idea. He says, you know, if we were to say that, you know what, we have the ability to live on Mars, and but you know what, there's so much we haven't studied. We don't really know the effects on our bodies yet. We don't really know what gravity is there or what the environment is like necessarily. We haven't had time to research it. But we want to launch a colony, and we want to start with taking children to teenagers. I don't know if you would sign up to send your kids to Mars, because you would probably say, very rightly so, I don't know what the effects of that are going to be. I don't know what's going to happen, all these kind of things. But you know what? That's exactly what we do with technology every generation. This untested, unvetted, unknown thing. And yet it is now in the lives of every single person. And now we're just now seeing some of those effects. But that's not the entirety of what I want to speak about tonight. But it's the truth of our lives that, you know, unlike generations before, the presence of anxiety is increasing in every facet of our life. And so, you know, to talk a little more, anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. It is a meteor shower of what ifs. I read someone said, anxiety is Chicken Little meets Eeyore. You think the sky is falling, and you think it's falling disproportionately on you. That's anxiety. It's like, okay, well, that's interesting. But what I want to say is that a lot of times we link anxiety and fear very closely connected. I think there's some truth to that, but I would say that anxiety and fear are cousins, not twins, because fear sees a threat, anxiety imagines one, right? Anxiety is the imaginations that we think will come to fruition. And in this passage, if you read it, it's kind of, sometimes if I really look at it, I almost see that it's a lofty goal, right? And Paul, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord's at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Like, why couldn't he say, you know what? Try to be anxious about a little bit less. He doesn't. What does he say? He says, do not be anxious about anything. Well, if I read that at face value, I would say, man, that's impossible, right? Is there anyone in this room that could say, you know what? I'm not anxious about anything whatsoever. Well, I would say no. At some level, we all have some anxiety, some trepidation about something. So then what do we see here? Well, I think in Paul's writing, looking at this, the way he writes this, it really implies the previous verse and talking about this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So he's writing in this as an ongoing state, right? This active, this present active tense. So what I mean by that is, I think what he's saying is, don't let everything in your life be perpetually dominated by angst, by anxiety. So it's not just the fact of let you never be anxious about anything. But what I think really he's trying to say is, let the posture of my day be one of rejoicing, and let not anxiety be the thing that just rules every decision. Or, again, for the context of being the capacity killer, let anxiety not be the thing that just reduces my capacity for everything else like joy or peace or happiness. And I want to tell you this, and this is a quote from Max Lucado, and it says, he says, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. Anxiety's presence is unavoidable in our life. You're going to have anxiety. But to be held prisoner by it, that is a choice that we have. So for a few moments, I want to talk about four of the origins, the main things that maybe bring anxiety to our life. Because what we see in the Word of God, many times we are called to confront things in our mind, confront thoughts, right? Bring our thoughts into captivity, right? So make them subject to the Spirit of God. And so I want to, in just a few moments, I want to just give you some things to think about that you can maybe even confront or think about in your life. Number one, change, right? Change. Does anybody just not like change? Like, you know what? I'm just good. Just things stay the way they are. Probably the older you get, the more you like things for just to stay the same. Well, sorry, but change is inevitable, right? The only thing that's not going to change is the fact that things are always going to change. But even if you look at our life and our world, even if you zoom out a little bit in the context, think about this. Researchers speculate that the Western world's environment has changed more in the last 30 years than the past 300. So 300 years, previous generations, the amount of change they saw in their entire lifetime, or the how congruent their life was to their parents or grandparents. In the last 30 years, we've experienced more change. And I would say that number is getting increasingly smaller as technology is so pervasive. But just think about the implications on your life and what that does. But also, you know, things that can bring anxiety, the ripple effect of change, right? And this is something that obviously my family and I, we are, you know, experiencing the potential anxiety that can accompany change. Now, I would say the antidote for this is the knowledge that you are in the will of God, right? Because there's so many things that I can't, you know, affect about change. There are some things that are completely in my control about change, but sometimes it's the knowledge that God is sovereign and making sure that I'm going through everything that I can to align my will with God's will. But change is a tough one. It can bring anxiety to our life. You know, even if we think about the things that happen, that have happened in our life, and all the things that are ongoing constantly, kind of brings us to the second thing. Number two, pace of life. Just our pace of life. We will, if we're not careful, by default, we will cram our lives full to the max. Now, that doesn't always mean that we're picking the right things, but again, I would say driven by technology, we have the ability to absolutely stuff every moment of our day completely full. But not only that, we see that we are consuming so much more at such a faster pace. Again, think about it. If there was an earthquake across the world, our grandparents' generation would hear about it days later, maybe, right? Parents' generation of the people that are alive now, on the nightly news, you maybe get an update. But now, you get it instantly, and you can't even get to the end of the news before there's another thing that you're exposed to. But the truth is, we were never meant to consume all of the tragedies in the world in the span of an hour. That's why sometimes, and this may seem a little naive, but I just have to turn the news off, not stick my head in the sand about events, but if not, what? You get so consumed, and again, in the light of anxiety being the capacity killer, you can, and you probably experience this, maybe you wake up, and if you're a news in the morning kind of person, if you're not careful, that what you consume will just totally affect the rest of your day and the ability to maybe have some of these things like thankfulness, have some of these things like joy, right? So even understanding those things, our pace of life, okay? Another example of that is, think about transportation. Generations gone by, traveled by horse during the day. Think about how slow it made your life because of, not by intention, but because of the limitations of the world. But now we are only limited by our desire, our willingness. Hey, guess what? If you want to be in Paris in 8 hours, you can be in Paris in 8 hours. You have that choice. Now, is that good for you to be in Paris in 8 hours and then back? And then, but we do it. We do it. And so, but sometimes we are ruled by that, and that creates, again, a sort of anxiety that can be so difficult for us. Number three, personal challenges. This is, I know it's a big category, but sometimes it's just the things that we face in our life, those personal challenges that we struggle with that bring a kind of a constant underlying anxiety that, again, lowers our capacity for everything else. And sometimes those personal challenges are difficult to confront, but we have to constantly align ourselves with Scripture. A way that I like to think about it or ask myself is, what is my knee-jerk reaction? If I have a situation or an anxious thought or something, and to really answer the question of, you know, how do we bring our thoughts into captivity? How do we capture these things? Well, my question is, do I have a scripture for my thought, or do I just dwell on the thought? My grandfather would say, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop it from building a nest. Right? So, can I look to verses like Matthew chapter 11, verse 28? Come to me, all who labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Personal challenges. We're going to go through things in our life that maybe you have no control over. And again, it's that control, my ability to control things in my life. But the more you experience in life, the more you realize there's so many things I have no control over except my response to them. And my response is either going to be anxiety, fear-driven, or faith in God, faithfulness, consistency. As we've been reading and talking about, even on Sunday, I preached a message, God Has Another Option, talking about what to do sometimes when you're faced with circumstances that seem like the options are few and not good. But yet, in all those stories, what we see is people, even if they felt like they had no options, you know what they chose? They chose faithfulness, regardless of the outcome. Regardless of the deliverance outcome, or regardless of the I have to go through and suffer, they said, I'm going to be faithful no matter what. And because of their faithfulness, God brought another option and brought them through it. So what do we do? Personal challenges. And number four, hate to bring it to you, this may seem so simple, aging. Aging, the universal life experience, something we all go through, whether you have lots of money in the bank, little money in the bank, whether you have family, whether you don't, whether you've experienced personal tragedy, whether you've had the happiest, most carefree life, guess what? We all get older. And that's something that the Lord has ordained. That's the pathway of life for all of us. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here tonight, but we still have to, and Sister Debbie's not a downer. She's a wonderful, happy, joyful person. A Danny Downer. That really is unfair, Sister Debbie. But yet, isn't it interesting? It's the thing that it's a little bit transcendent. It's transcendent of your life experiences. It's transcendent of, you know, any other experience. You can't stop it. You know, people spend billions and trillions of dollars trying to reverse it, trying to change it. But the truth is, we all age, and it's beautiful, and it's a part of God's process, and it's a joyous thing, unless you allow anxiety to reduce your capacity to see the beauty in all of the phases of life that God brings to us. Because again, anxiety is the capacity killer. It reduces our capacity to take in and enjoy other things. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you're so anxious, and so our default when we're anxious is what? Bury ourselves in our phone, right? You get on an elevator. You feel just a tiny bit of social anxiety because there's someone else coming on the elevator. What do? Right? Pretend they're not there. Where's the button? Or, God forbid, what floor? Four. Right? Oh, but how often do maybe do that on, and then get through an experience and realize I didn't enjoy or participate or partake in any of that because I just appeased my anxiety. I allowed a little bit of friction in my spirit to detract from what God was doing. And again, I'm not necessarily even just talking about, you know, church and church experience. I'm talking about time with family. I'm talking about how a small worry yet can reduce our capacity and get us so locked into something that we miss out on some of the most joyous experiences that God has for us. anxiety. It can be difficult. But, you know, the Lord has called us not to have a spirit of fear. But how do we do that? Again, a part of this, I think, is number one is speaking to it, is identifying what are the causes, what are the reasons that some of these things exist in my life. And maybe, you know, those are kind of four categorical reasons that maybe you can draw from in your own life and say, well, if I had to pick one of those, it would be pace of life, right? And probably the truth is all four of these we have to interact with, right? Right now, change, right? For many of us, you're going through so many changes in your life. Our church has been through many changes. Pace of life, man, that's a tough one for me right now, figuring that out, figuring out what that looks like. How do I keep that in control? How do I be a present father and a present husband? And yet, what does it look like? How do I you know, make sure I'm doing all that right? And that can bring an anxiety of sorts. And again, to me, the only way to ground myself is to make sure that I'm putting those first things first, and then allowing everything else to flow from that. Otherwise, I will be controlled by the thing that causes my anxiety, right? But by controlling the things that God has placed as my responsibility, it controls my anxiety. But sometimes we view it the other way. Sometimes we want to attack the anxiety points and, oh, well, I need to worry about this. But the truth is, getting things right in my life, everything else can work its way out. And there's a story of a man who was looking forward to a day off, and he promised his son that he would spend time with him. And of course, his son was so excited. He was 6 at the time, and he wakes up early in the morning thinking he's going to have some time to himself and enjoy his coffee routine. But of course, you know, the moment his son wakes up even a little bit, he is in the living room. Dad, I'm ready for the day. I'm so excited. And so the father's like, you know, he's trying to figure out what to do to buy himself a little more time. And he has a newspaper, and he sees a map of the world. And so he goes, oh, great idea. So he takes the map of the world, and he rips it into pieces, and he gives it to his son. He said, here's a puzzle. He said, well, the first activity of the day, you're going to put this puzzle together, and, you know, and that'll be the first thing we do. So the son grabs this shredded pages of the globe picture on the newspaper and runs off happily. Father thinks he has bought, 30 minutes maybe of time. And 5 minutes later, his son comes back with a completed puzzle. And the father is just thinking, how could you put this newspaper back together? And how did you do? Because he thought the globe. Well, the globe, that will get him. But his son said, well, Dad, what you didn't realize is on the other side of that newspaper was a picture of a man. And when I figured out how to put the man together, the whole world fell into place. But is that not a little bit true? How often do we focus on these things that are important to our world, but maybe neglect the inner man? Truth is, if I can put the man together, the world will fall into place. And I don't mean finances. I don't mean, you know, some of the things that we can so easily get caught up in this time of year. Why does the holidays cause so much anxiety? Because there's so much pressure from a society that is built around consumerism. And I'm not going to get off on that. I don't have time because I have 9 minutes. But think about it. If we focus on putting our spiritual man together, change, pace of life, personal challenges, aging, all these things we're affected by. But if we're not careful, we'll be ruled by, which again will reduce our capacity for other things. And you'll find yourself wondering, well, why can't I feel joy? And I pray for joy. But the truth is, anxiety is this ever-present thing. But to bring back that quote, we understand that the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. The prison of anxiety is optional. So how can we attack it? Well, looking at this, it's pretty amazing that in Philippians gives us this, these verses. But to give you an acronym, the young people, acronyms, we don't do that as much in school anymore. But I want to give you an acronym that we see from the writing of Paul here. And this is out of a book by Max Lucado, Anxious for Nothing. Great book. If any of this has sparked your thoughts and spirit, some great resources in there. But the acronym is CALM, C-A-L-M, CALM. And the first aspect, how do I avoid this low-level anxiety that's just ever-present and wants to imprison me? Well, number one, celebrate God's goodness. Intentionally celebrate the goodness of God. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I need to express joy, even if it doesn't seem like the biggest emotion of the day. Take time and celebrate the goodness of God. Why? Because it resets my perspective. God, thank you. Gratefulness is a choice. Gratefulness is a perspective. Why can I see people that have, quote unquote, everything in life and they are unhappy, unfulfilled, and don't seem to have anything going? And then you find people that are struggling in all the ways that we would think matter, but yet they're joyful, they're happy. Why? Because they've chosen a perspective of gratitude. They've chosen a perspective. So calm, see, celebrate God's goodness. And again, this is all right here in this passage in Philippians. A, ask for God to help. Let your request be made known to God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Talk to God about it. Specifically, God, this is the thing that I need your help with today. Why? Because our anxiety battle is not a one and done battle. It is a daily battle. And sometimes we God can deliver you. God can make a permanent shift in your mind. But I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice if we think that every move of God is going to be a one and done move. Sometimes you're going to wake up and have the same battle because you have the same flesh. And that's okay. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you or wrong with your faith. But you have to wake up and say, God, today I want to crucify my flesh. I want you to help me with the things that make me anxious and give me a successful, peaceful, joyful day. And this is what it's going to take to do it. God, I need your help. Because guess what? The things that make you anxious, probably not a surprise to you. It's probably not like, oh, where'd that come from? No, you know the things. You know the situations. You know the people. You know the events that could trigger those moments. And so ask God for help. L, leave your concerns with him. Give it to God. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, in Philippians 4, verse 8, the last letter of that acronym, meditate on good things. Spend time redirecting our thoughts. Again, back to that simple example of, you know, I can't stop a bird from landing on my head, but I'm the one that allows it to either build a nest or, you know, push it away. And, you know, if you have children, I'm sure you've had the experience of, you know, either a bad dream or something. So one thing that I do with Claire, especially, and my dad did with me, I would bring him a thought, and he would say, well, what would it take to make that thought a silly thought, right? This is a childish thing, but you know, if I had a bad dream about something, he would say, well, just imagine that that person is a clown and imagine that person is, you know, has helium all and they're going to float away or whatever. But the idea that I could just very simply take time and intentionally redirect something. And that's obviously a simple example from a child, but I think the truth can be the same for us. We see that in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it's something I pray when I pray over people many times, and I love to discuss the peace of God, because what I love about the peace of God is human peace comes by way of resolution. We find peace when we come to a resolution of a situation. Well, when it's resolved, when it's over, when it's fixed, right? Christmas decorating, anyone? When everything is in its place, maybe if that's you. You know, it's not my wife. She doesn't care about decorations at all. It's all me. You know, I got to have the tree and all the things. She's not in here because she'd be laughing right now. But she loves... Oh, she might be in here. She is in here. We're about to do it. We're about to be in it. After Thanksgiving, that tree's going up and all the things got to be just perfect. And that's fine. But after it's all said and done, but then there's just a peace that comes over me that it's done. Right? But that's the way it is. We want peace, again, by way of resolution. Once the situation's over, I will feel peace because I know why. Peace comes by anxiety being eradicated. Because now I know how it's going to turn out, right? But until I know how it's going to turn out, I can't have peace because I have anxiety. So in our human understanding, peace and anxiety cannot coexist. So how can we ever have peace? Because anxiety will always be with us in some way. And some of you, you know, the truth is you're saying, okay, well, I've talked about anxiety all the time, but I always have anxiety. Well, I'm not saying you're going to eradicate it. What I'm saying is you don't have to be imprisoned by it. Because what's amazing about the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding. So what that means is that you can have peace in the midst, right? You can have peace even though you have anxiety. You can have peace even though the things have not worked out yet. In the absence of resolution, you can have peace because you know the one that is walking you through the situation, right? That's, I don't know if you've ever been on a safari, but you see these safari videos, okay? Have you ever seen the safari video where there's someone like with a camera and there's a deadly animal that can travel faster than the safari truck just feet away? And in my mind, I'm like, you're crazy. What are you doing? Right? But for them in that moment, they're not really concerned, even though they might be anxious. Why? Because they know, well, this guy knows. Surely this random guy that just has a stick, like, he can take care of this rhinoceros. Like, I don't know how. But in their mind, though, they've justified it. How can anxiety and peace coexist? Because they trust the person that's leading the way. So even though there might be a deadly animal right there, I don't know that I'm going on a safari. That's why I can use this example. If you have, God bless you. But in those situations, they don't come across as scared out of their mind. No, they're excited. Even if we would say you're naive, because they're like, oh, cool, look at this beautiful little lion. I can see its teeth. You know, he's squatting down, you know, so majestic. Like he's about to pounce on you. You're going to die. But sometimes the truth is they recognize that, you know what, I'm in a situation that I wouldn't know what to do, but yet the guide has been here. The guide knows. The guide knows the way. He knows where we're going. He knows what's going to happen. And what they say in the videos is cameraman never dies. If we got the footage, he must have survived. Cameraman always survives. But in our life, you can have anxiety. It can be something that you deal with. But you can have peace even though anxiety is present in your life. And it comes by sometimes confronting those things, giving those things to God. So this acronym, CALM, celebrate God's goodness. Ask for God's help. Leave your concerns with him and meditate on good things. Take time to shift your perspective. A couple other verses really quick. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Not cast your burden on the Lord and he will fix it. Necessarily. He will resolve it. He will remove it. No, he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Sometimes we want to be exalted and we want to be promoted. We want to move forward in our life and it causes so much anxiety. What he says is, humble yourself. At the proper time, he'll do it. Humble yourself, give him your anxieties, and at the right time, he will bring the things about that you need. Psalms 23 and 4, from one of the most famous passages here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Will you stand with me tonight? I want to encourage you because I know that at different times through your life, even if maybe like myself, I don't consider myself necessarily in my emotions or not, don't seem to be way too high or way too low. A lot of times I would consider myself a pretty even keel person. And, you know, that's kind of just, the way my mind works. But yet there's times when there are things, and maybe for you, it's the things that keep you up at night. Maybe for things that it's the things that you feel a tightness in your chest. Maybe for you, it's things that wake you up in the morning. Maybe for you, it's the thing that no matter how far you go in life, it's always there. Or maybe the thing it's you forget about it and then suddenly it rushes back into your mind in the middle of the day and, oh, there it is again. But whatever that is, those anxieties are things that we will all have to deal with and they will be present in our life. And so walking with God is not the eradication of anxiety, but it's also understanding that we are not imprisoned by it. So I want to encourage you with that, because the reason I've brought this up tonight is because I want you to have capacity for the things that God wants you to experience. I want you to have the capacity for joy. I want you to have the capacity for peace and love and thankfulness in this season. And so the danger is that you will go through all of the good things of this week and tomorrow and whatever the Christmas season holds, but yet you don't actually absorb them or have the capacity for them to rejuvenate your spirit or help you. Why? Because anxiety is overshadowing and taking up so much of your capacity. So I want to challenge you with that, because you may not think, well, you know, I'm okay with it. I do get anxious, but I'm fine. But think about it from the perspective of capacity. Do I really have enough capacity for some of these things that God has brought into my life to bring me strength, to bring me peace, to bring me joy? Or like the person on the elevator, do I just immediately go to my phone and dive into the thing to placate my anxieties, or the thing to just make sure I can get through and not experience all the beauty that God has around us? And the problem with that, though, is if we're always just trying to medicate our anxiety, whether it's through actual medicine or social experiences, we miss out on all the growth that God has for us. We miss out on increasing our capacity for more. So I want to challenge you with that, because anxiety is the capacity killer. But I believe that if we take some time, and even the simple acronym, celebrate God's goodness, ask God for help, leave our concerns with Him and meditate, take time intentionally thinking on the right things, the good things, then we can create patterns that will help us overcome. And yes, you're going to have moments of anxiety. Yes, you're going to have difficult times, but you don't have to be ruled by it. And I want you to have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. I want you to have a wonderful Christmas season. But if we're not careful, the enemy will steal every good thing that God has intended for us to experience and replace it with a cheap substitute. And anxiety is that capacity killer that can take away all these good opportunities that God has given us. Amen? Why don't we close in this? I want you to think about maybe a small anxiety, maybe it's something big. I want you to think about, what can you confront and attack, and how can you use this, celebrating God's goodness, asking God for help, leaving your concerns with Him, and meditating on good things? How can you maybe start that pattern tonight to not be imprisoned by anxiety? Because you have an anxiety that I may not know about, I may never interact with, and that's why they can live on, because they're in the privacy of our heart and spirit and mind. But I believe that we can overcome it, and that we can have more capacity to experience all the beauty that God has for us. So let's pray together as we close. Lord, I thank You tonight for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would help us, God. Anxiety would love to steal our ability to experience joy, to experience all the wonderful things the holidays would bring us. But God, I pray tonight, Lord, You would help us to celebrate Your goodness. Lord, You're a good God. Lord, you're a mighty God. You're so good to us. You're so wonderful, Lord, and we thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You would help us, God. I pray that we would speak and ask You specifically for what we need, Lord. You see the things that we struggle with. You see the things that trigger the anxieties of our heart and our spirit and our mind. Even this week, Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord. I pray that we would leave our concerns with You, God. Let us let go of some things and let You take care of them, Lord. And finally, I pray that we can meditate on good things, God, with the things that are true, God, things that are just, God. I pray that we can focus on these things, Lord. I thank You, because with Your spirit, God, we can overcome, Lord. With Your spirit, we don't have to be held captive by our anxiety, God. You can help us and You can make us overcomers, and we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Aren't you thankful for a good God? Aren't you thankful for a God that helps us, that sees us, that answers when we pray? Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. We love you, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.